Find you a neighbor. Just find somebody. Look at them. Tell them, God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what's taking place in the world right now. God is still good. God knew it was going to happen. And if you haven't been reading Revelation at any point, it kind of told you a lot of this stuff was going to start happening. But anyhow, oh, praise God. Got a couple quick announcements real quick here. This coming Saturday, men's breakfast will be in Edison at the Edison Depot restaurant at 9 a.m. If you need more details, Mr. Phil right there. And also this Saturday is Ladies Strength in Him training. The meet in the conference room starting at 9:30 to 10 for coffee and conversation, and then 10 to 11 in here. So, anyhow, if you need more information, you she said clear your calendar if you didn't hear. And also, if you're interested in membership, please mark your calendar for a new members class on Sunday, March the 20th at 4 p.m. in the conference center. I'll share about the purpose of the church, the vision, and the benefits and responsibilities of membership. Please let us know if you plan to join or plan to attend so that we can get stuff ready. So praise God. Well, hallelujah. Let's bless this tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, that your word is true, that your word goes out and does not come back void. So, Father, when you said to bring the tithe into the storehouse and see if you would not pour out blessing in our lives, Father, your word does not come back to you void. Father, you move in our lives. Father, you open doors. You pour out blessings. Father, we receive them now, and I bless this offering and tithe in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and those super kids are dismissed. Oh. It's feeling a little cooler in here. It was in the mid-70s in the corner. Some of you, we'll shut the fans down here in a minute. It was just really, I only have a t-shirt on left. And see that, I preach in a t-shirt. Because I'm back here in that vest and I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I'm in the very back and I'm roasting now. Praise God. Well, you know, you'd be hard-pressed right now to not know what's going on in the world. Unless you're living under a rock. Things are changing in our world. Although I did see somebody that said, I'm so glad to see the things from my childhood coming back, you know, like the games and the serials and stuff, the TV shows they're redoing. Oh, and the Soviet Union. For those of you, the new generation, you have no idea. That's what those of us during the Cold War lived under, the threat that they were going to bomb us. And pretty much, I mean, he didn't say nuclear, but he did say we would experience something we've never had before. That ain't a charge. I don't know what is. However, I got news for pride and arrogance. Hit me with your best shot, Jack. I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't need a Patriot missile. I need the God who can turn that thing right back around and send it where it came from. And as long as we, the people of God's kingdom, remember to pray, not worry, pray. I'll tell you something I had to tell a roommate years ago when after the invasion in Kuwait. He said, Artie's, or they called me Woody then. He said, Woody, I don't get it. He says, I don't know, because he was studying transcendental meditation and trying to get into New Age mumbo jumbo, which it's a slippery slope. It all looks good and fine till you realize that they removed Jesus Christ and salvation. So anyhow, I looked at him. I said, Scott, I said, listen here. I said, here's what the Bible says. He's going to return for his people. He's not coming back for French fries. Yeah, you can bring the speeds down now. I said, he's coming back for people, not French fries. Don't worry about nuclear war. Don't worry about it. And that's where we have to be. We have got to stand firm in our faith, not just for us, but for them. Facebook friend, I have two Facebook friends. One's in Armansk, which is the last town in Crimea before you go to mainland. So she has actually been in Russian control since, 14 is when that took place. And she was my interpreter. And then the other one, Luda, she is Pastor Bob's, she works for Pastor Bob in that ministry over there, and she arranges all the travel and translates for him. And she lives in Kyiv, which is how the Ukrainians pronounce it. And she put on there the other morning that she said you could hear explosions and things happening already on day one. So, you know, we do need to be praying for them. But just like the Christians that are gathering in that town, that capital city, and they are praying. They're going to underpasses and stuff. You know, I heard, was it Dave talking this morning about Russian tanks running out of fuel? Come on. Putin is not an idiot. Right? I'm not. Russian tanks don't just run out of fuel. Just like Israel. Look at Israel. How many times have people tried to attack Israel? This is unprovoked. But whether Putin has given in to the full spirit of the Antichrist and he will be the one leading the invasion that tries to take on Israel later on in life, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, and we will pray before we leave here today for Ukraine. Because, you know, it is a little something different. I know people there now. You know, I've watched them on Facebook and watched Irina. She was 26, wanted a husband so bad. She was a pretty girl, couldn't get a husband. Boy, she found her a husband. Her name is Irina Rina. I was like, really? That's her married name now. But she has two precious little children now, loves her family, and that's what she desired, was to be married and to have children. So she, you know, that family needs our prayer too, because that church was quite decent size in that community. Like I said, it was a town of 25,000 people. They didn't have a McDonald's. They had one restaurant that I'm aware of. One restaurant. There was nothing, no stores like we got. They had little shops, but nothing big. And the major employer was a chemical plant right up the road. So how would you like that? You're living in the Simpsons. So what's going on has been no surprise to God. And it shouldn't have been no surprise to anybody who's been watching. Just remember, when you think about it, pray for them. Don't worry about it. Oh, well, what's he going to do to us? Hey, I got all full confidence in my God and my Savior. And because I have full confidence in that, I can have full confidence in my own abilities as well. See, that's a false message the church has taught. You can't have confidence in your own abilities. That just seems like a contradiction. If I'm not confident, be bold, be strong in the Lord. That means to be confident in what God has anointed. I come up here now with confidence. I'll say that in the beginning, thank God it was in my dining room. I didn't have the greatest of confidence to stand up in front of people and talk for very long, unless I had every word I was going to say typed out. I now have confidence in my abilities to run my pie hole and God's ability to fill it. So if I didn't have confidence in what God called me to do, then I'm about useless. Which brings us to our message today. Psalm 91. Since 2001, most of us pretty much know Psalm 91. We've heard it taught. Well, we need to hear it again. But we need to hear it from the eyes of a Marine. As I was studying this and looking up certain words, I thought that's what that meant. It's not just poetic flu-flu. It's exactly what I thought it meant. He that dwells... I'm going to read this. I must have flipped over to King James. Because it has an F on it. And not an S. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He abides. He dwells. Dwells. Let me get my notes out here. I got to have my notes. Keep me straight. Dwells means to sit down. Specifically in judgment and ambush. Not you're about to be ambushed, but you're part of the judgment coming. Are you following me? See, everybody's always read this word from a point of weakness. How can, okay, I understand that I have to be weak, that he may be strong. But if I'm always weak, how's he ever going to be strong? He came to give me more life. Have courage, right? He kept telling Joshua, have courage. I forgot how many times he told Joshua, have courage. Told him to rise up, have courage, be strong and of good courage, be of good cheer. Jesus told his disciples on a couple occasions, fear not, be of good courage, be of good strength. It's me, it's not a ghost. And here, this scripture, it says, he who dwells, it doesn't just mean live, abide in. The Strong's actually said, by mere implication, it means in judgment of ambush. Now, having been somebody who laid wait in ambush, you have to imagine the anticipation of seeing your prey coming down the road. They don't know you're there. And you've waited there. The last ambush I waited in, it was, I think, 5 hours before they ever came. Do you know what happens in the North Carolina afternoon and you're laying on your belly under a bush thinking about the copperheads that might slither up next to you? You get tired. You start getting weary. And you're laying in, you learn how to lock your weapon in place, how to rest your head right here and your helmet right there on the carrying handle, and you just lay there and wait. And you wait, and you wait. But then you hear that familiar sound of boots on gravel, and everything in you wakes up. Because you are about to rain down on the enemy. So when it talks about he's dwelling, that's what it means. You're actually in an ambush position. You're not about to be ambushed. You are the ambusher. So it says he dwells in a secret place. Secret means concealment. Here's the great part about being in an ambush. You have to conceal yourself. When I laid up underneath that bush, it was just a little scrub bush. I don't even know what it was. But I had to make sure I didn't disturb too much of the surrounding area to make it look like I was there. And I had to grab a few branches and lay them across my legs and across my back. I had to camouflage myself. That's what it means. Every hunter in here knows exactly what I'm talking about. When you're out hunting a deer, what do you do, man? You can get war paint on, get masks to pull over your face so they can't see you. By the way, your eyeballs will give you away every time. Do not make eye contact with a deer. Every time I did, they busted me. When I didn't look directly at them, they just looked at me. Something about the eyes and life. And they know there's something up there that shouldn't be there. But you see, when you're camouflaged, you blend in. Snipers are trained on how to perfectly camouflage themselves. They're trained on how to move into a position without ever being spotted. When Angela and I, just before I got out of the Marines, they had what we called a Jane Wayne Day. Primarily because 99% of the Marine Corps was male. And so we had a lot of spouses out there who had no idea what we really did. So they all got to come, and they got to watch an amphibious assault. And while we're sitting there in this, in our bleachers, you know, we got Cobra helicopters from here to the back wall coming down, landing right in front of us. And they've got Amtrak's, and they got a tank over here, and they got LAVs. They got Harriers coming in and landing, and explosions going on. It was awesome. I mean, I'm like, oh, dude, I almost wanted to re-enlist. Almost. It was phenomenal to watch this. And the only thing that makes that even better is watching it at night with tracer rounds. That is awesome. Artillery going. It's like, dude, this is cool. This is why I'm a Marine. And at the end of it, you know, we watched the guys unload, and they came and they assaulted and they got into position. And after it had all ended, they said, okay, now you guys have all been sitting here and you've watched all of this going on. He said, but what you missed is right in front of you. And they said, snipers, please stand up. And from me to Cheryl, there was a sniper. The man was within 20 feet of me, and I never saw him because he was perfectly camouflaged, and he moved so slowly. It didn't help my attention that it was elsewhere. But he was perfectly concealed, and that's what this word means in the secret. See, we've painted it. Sometimes people like to paint, well, it's your prayer closet. It is not your prayer closet. You can't survive in your prayer closet. You get ambushed. You need to understand something. There was two parts of that little play that we did. There was the part where we ambushed them. And then we had to go back and be the ambushee. We had to walk into a trap so that we knew how to fight through it. At that point, I decided to take the biggest machine gun we had, the M60. I'm like, oh, that thing's just awesome. Even if it's firing blanks, it's awesome. Flames jumping out of it, and it's got a plug in the barrel. I'll tell you about that in a second. So we had to learn then to pick up on places. You need to understand the devil knows where you're going to be. Well, I got to go here. I got to go to work. So he's going to pick up places. He knows who can push the right buttons on you. And he will do that. He will push every button he needs to set you off, to ruin your day. It's an ambush. Identify it as such and begin to pray in the spirit. Because see, when you're ambushed, the first thing they taught us, you turn and face the ambush. And you assault through the ambush. Not to it, through it. Now I'll tell you how fun this was. I mean, it was fun, but yet there was no way of keeping track of who won. They gave us all this Miles gear stuff and one battery. It all ran off 9-volt batteries. One battery. Put that in your vest. Why do I want to put it in my vest? That means they'll know when I'm dead. I'm going to put it in my gun so that I know that when I hit somebody, nobody died. Nobody was killed because we all had it in our weapons. But when I turned, we were assaulted from the right. And when I spun around to the right, and just so you know, you see all these guys, they pull up these M60s and they're... That gun will rattle your brains. It's a 7.62 round. It has a killing range of about 1,100 yards. It's a phenomenal weapon. And you're trying to hold it. It's the same one Rambo comes up out of the water with, one hand. Doot, 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 doot. Yeah, that's an impossibility and only in Hollywood. So is pulling the pin on a grenade with your teeth. You'll pull your teeth out. But anyhow, and as I spun my right and I began to assault through, I just laid into that trigger and fired the way they told me. And we always had these sayings in our mind. See, everything comes, it all ties in. Fire a 6 to 9 round burst. And by the time you've even said that in your head, you've already fired 20 rounds. That's how fast it would cycle. But as we spun and we turned and we faced, and at that time of the night, it was dusk. So it was getting hard to see. And as I spun around, I just kept firing, and there was one guy. He was right there in front of me. And he was probably back to the back of the rows back there. And I just kept right on assaulting. He kept right on assaulting. Neither one of us was going to give. So I just kept going right at him, except I had the bigger gun. And like I told you, my gun had created so much pressure and flames. On each side of it, there was flames this far. And they'd go around the front of the gun, too, because of the BFA, the baffler that would hold it. It would just actually flex, and those flames would just jump out of it. So you can imagine what it was suppressing. But as I went, I got to about, again, from me to Cheryl, from him. He was under a bush. And from at this point to here, you can only imagine, if you think of sailors cussing, imagine what a Marine was doing when he's got flames hitting him. I didn't realize the flames were getting to him. And he came flying out of there cussing me and calling me everything. But in the end, I'm the one who didn't retreat. That's the way I look at it. We were all shooting blanks, but I was taught to reach or to fight through, to assault through. And that's what we have to do when the enemy jumps us and he attacks us, is we have to pray. You've got to be quick to identify it. Understand that it is an attack on you, and it is personal. If there's something coming against your family, it is personal. Take it personal. That man was firing at me. I took it personal. He took it personal. When you identify that the enemy is coming against you in an assault, begin to pray. It's going to take you a few minutes. Because I'll tell you why, because it doesn't just come and smack you. It's building. It usually starts building up, and then you get ambushed. See, Putin has been telling us what he's going to do. We're just running exercises, hogwash. That is not an exercise. So, we've known it's been coming. Putin has 3.5 million military personnel at his disposal. Ukraine has 560,000. The country there outnumbered by 100 million. Now you throw God into the mix. Those odds don't matter. Same thing with the devil and you. Oh, there's demons and spirits around all day long. But you and God, you're the majority. The odds don't matter. It's because if you're dwelling, you are ready. And you're concealed. You're camouflaged. Again, you've got to make sure, and so just so people know, this isn't a message about acting like the world so you can be a chameleon. It has nothing to do with that. That's about people who are wishy-washy in their faith when time comes. It's talking about dwelling where God has you. You're walking around, Monica, you get sideswiped at work. I'm going to run home, go to my prayer closet. I can't go home. I got to stay and work. I'm going to stay here in a secret place. God's going to conceal, and I'm going to start praying. And I'm going to let God deal with this problem. And watch how fast. And I'm telling you, you want more results? Pray in the Spirit. God works miracles. It's phenomenal. Of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word abide. It means to stay permanently. That's where you are permanently. But you have to dwell. You have to be ready. You have to make yourself look like Him. Therein is your concealment. If I'm trying to blend in, well, here, I'll use this because I see, Tim, this will be a real good example. If I'm going to go to the Amish community, not being able to grow a squat for a beard, Am I going to do real well blending in? But will Tim, who can grow a beard? Yes. Yeah, you got to shave your mustache. They think that's a military thing. But Tim would stand a better chance than I would. Because my beard would come in all patchy and it's all, most of it's right here and right there. I'm not going to do real well. Stick me in with a bunch of hillbillies or a bunch of Irish, Scottish. I'll do pretty doggone good. Because they're all going to have pretty much the same genes. Although some of them can grow pretty good beards. We've got to make sure that we're dwelling, that we're ready. We're laying wait for when God tells us to do something. All right, next verse. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Again, a refuge is a place you go for safety, a wildlife refuge. Gentlemen, are you allowed to hunt on them? Ladies that hunt? No. You are not. They see you with a gun within 100 yards of that place, and you've got park rangers all over you. And you are going to take a quick trip in the back seat of somebody's pickup truck. Because it's a protected place. You're not allowed to cause harm to that. Even though you may see a world-class trophy buck, you can't go in and touch it. He's my fortress. A fortress is, again, a place from an assault. When you're in the fortress, you're protected. It's also a place from which you can fight from. We've seen all the, Fort Apache, and you know, we've seen all kinds of movies where they're in these great big castles and forts, and they're fighting from them. They protect them. He's my God. In Him I will trust. In God will I put my full faith. That's what it means to trust. Doesn't mean that I can't have trust in the abilities that God has given me. God gave me a gift a long time ago of being able to talk in public. The enemy tried to squelch that. But it is a natural gift that I have. However, God needed to be able to put it to His use. And that's where I have to surrender my will. I had no problems talking to my platoon of Marines, calling cadence, giving orders for drill. No problem with that. I loved it. I love this. But God is our God and we will trust. Next verse. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. People who set traps for you. Understand this. If there's a trap, it is fueled by the enemy, but it's usually set through a person. And they sometimes know and sometimes don't know they did it. So we have got to remember, first off, principalities work through personalities. The devil is going to work through people. And if you will not identify that and start shutting it down, and if you are a person who knows that you are doing it, you need to stop it. You have control over that thing. Tell the devil, you ain't got no more rights to me. I'm not going to be that person anymore. And from the perilous pestilence is something, it's just a pest. Mice. Mosquitoes, these stupid stink bugs. Sitting in my living room at night watching TV, and then I hear a Huey helicopter flying around in my living room. And I'm like, okay, I'm about to get hit. And sure enough, wham! Or it lands on my arm or my lap. And it's like, woohoo! That's a pest. That's a pestilence. They're just there to annoy you. Start identifying the things that annoy you and take control over them in the spirit. The things that work you up. That's how you overcome. Quit being the one who's always being assaulted. Attack back at the devil. Well, I've always been taught that I have to take the concerns of others first. Understand this. You ain't taking anybody's concerns first if you're dead. And that is the enemy's goal. Not only to kill you physically, but spiritually. The devil comes in to drive a wedge. And if he gets success in that, he will kill you. He'll drive you as far away from God as he can. And when you denounce God, understand, ladies and gentlemen, that's when you gave up your salvation. Devil can't take it from you, but you can give it up. You have free will. Your name was written in that book, but when you say God doesn't exist, I don't believe there is a God. He redeemed me. You just pretty much took your salvation, dumped it out. That's the only way the devil can take it from you. You have to give it up. Next verse. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Again, a buckler is just a tiny shield. The big shield, though, was the one, if y'all watch these Roman movies, Greek movies and all that, they got them great big shields. And when they see the arrows coming, what do? They all get together. Every one of them, they overlap their shields. And the arrows, and when that assault is done, they stand up, take their swords, cut them, break them off, and they move forward. But you can't carry that gigantic, those things were this tall. Yeah, I'm going to go into combat holding that thing. They had a smaller one, but yay big, so that you could hit the enemy. It now becomes not only protection, it becomes a weapon. We were always taught, hey, you fight until you have nothing left to fight with. Take that helmet off, grab that strap, and you just start swinging it. And trust me, they hurt. Won't tell you how I know, they hurt. But here's the that's not magic. That word cover. A couple weeks ago, I was watching a video. And again, we've watched all these movies where these bank robbers and terrorists come out, and they'll jump out and people are sitting in cars and they're totally safe. That is a lie. It is a flat out and out lie. You are not safe. That bullet went through. I'm like, or it hits glass. Well, unless it's bulletproof glass, the person on the other side of the glass is dead. The other person on the other side of that door is dead. They aren't sitting in there and being able to fight again and didn't get hit. Okay, it's all hokey pokey. It's garbage. But what this guy was talking about, I believe he was maybe an army vet, and he was talking about cover and concealment. We talked about concealment, right? It's camouflage. It is the operative word in our concealed carry. We can carry guns, but they have to be concealed. They have to be covered up. So you can't see it, but it's still deadly. But is it covered, as in this word? No, it is not. Because he said, here's the difference. You're hiding behind the door on the other side of a car. They're standing there with a machine gun. They just chewed up the car, and you're absolutely fine. No, those bullets went through the door. And they got you on the other side. He said, there's only really one place on a car that you can hide and have true cover. And that is the engine compartment. Because you have heavy steel inside that compartment. You have an engine. You have a transmission. That's the only place during a vehicular assault that you're safe. It's real cover. It's protection. Okay? So when he said, he shall cover you, he will protect. I think there was another word. Nope. That's exactly what I just said. It means protection. He's not just standing there. And here's another thing. I don't think God has wings and feathers. There I said it. I don't care what David wrote. David was also a poetic man. It's called an analogy. He's giving us an analogy because I'll throw you why. We were created in his image. I'm a little ticked. I don't have wings. I'm ticked that I got to pay for a flight on a plane. Okay, I want my wings, man. How cool is that? But he changes it and gives you an analogy of a mother goose. Anybody who's ever gone to the state park or been fishing and you had to walk the banks, especially in the springtime, you know what I'm talking about. People go running like it's a rabid pit bull. It's a goose. Well, they got teeth. Yeah, they're kind of like rough sandpaper. Well, they got three little claws. Yeah, what are they going to do, whip you with the wings with feathers? We pluck them and make pillows out of them, remember? But what happens is the analogy, because they make so much noise and so much movement, it scares people. They forget what they're doing. I love watching fail videos where people go running from them. It's a goose. It's a chicken. Grab that chicken by the neck and fry it up. But every time, and here's been my case, every time there's a really good place where it looks like the bass might be hiding, guess what else is there? A goose nest. And I can't get within 50 feet of it. So back in the day, man, I take my pole and I'm trying to, it's like, man, that thing is just not going. When we see this, we need to keep that in mind, that God is like that goose. Male or female, the geese will take care of their babies. And they'll sit there and they'll cover them up. They're concealed. Their cover is mama and papa. And don't, like I said, they're just geese, okay? We need to keep that in mind. They are still just geese. Yeah, their bite's going to hurt a little bit. It's not going to tear flesh off of you. Good little sunburn or road rash. But the truth of the matter is, you don't think about that. All you think about is, I got this 40-pound bird coming at me that wants to eat me. I don't want no part of it. Because that bird believes within its heart that it is invincible. God knows he's invincible. So when we make God our dwelling place, and we abide there, wherever we're at, we need to know that's what people are going to see. I'm going to come after and I'm going to attack Tim. But wait a minute, before I got to attack Tim, man, something made me run. I don't know what it was. I've heard reports of people who went to attack a person on the streets, physically attack them. They were going to rob them, rape them, kill them, whatever it was. And when they were getting close to do it, they suddenly saw bodyguards. And then when they come around, they backed off and went away, and they'd see that person there and said, where'd those big guys go? What big guys? I've been by myself the whole time. No, because I was going to kill you a few minutes ago, and you had people around you. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that's what he's talking about. He's talking about protecting us. That's why you can go knowing who you are in him. Now, I don't go hunt down the geese to be an annoyance to them. I just figure out a better place to try to get around them. I'll leave you border jumpers alone. I'll go back to Canada. But God wants us to know, I will protect you. But you have to trust me. Just like Ukraine right now, they have to trust God. We have to trust God. Politics aside, you have to have known for a very long time that our government has been heading in a bad place. And we have to stand. That means we don't back down. You may be on your knees, but you're still standing. Understand that. So much of the church, we get all this imagery, and we get people that don't have any concept of what combat is. Grant, I will tell you, I've never been in combat. Wanted to go, but they wouldn't take me. So there you have it. I'm a wannabe. But I did have to still learn it. I still had to study it. And I still know what actually takes place. And I'll tell you right now, even if you're on your knees, our first firing position that we did was on a knee. It was on your knee. Another one was sitting down. We learned to start shooting at 200 yards sitting down. And I don't think I can get in that tight a position anymore. I mean, it was tight. I could put this part of my elbow down here with left over right. And oh, by the way, the worst position to be in to shoot, does anybody guess what the worst one is? Standing. 200 yards out. You're looking through the hole the size of a pinhead. So what you do is you start figuring, okay, here's what's going to happen. I see there's the center of the target. Boom! The bullet's over here. It don't work. So you have to learn how to handle yourself. The further away you get, the harder it becomes. So at 500 yards, we're shooting at targets that the black is actually about yay tall. It's 36 by 18. It's 3 feet tall. From 500 yards away, it looks that tall. You want to guess where I did the best? Back there. Had nothing to do with how great I am. Had everything to do with the position I was in. Flat on the ground. Laying on the ground in a prone position. I could lock my rifle in right there. Didn't even have to hold it. Arm was going to sleep. Pull up. But see, the further back, the harder the shot gets because you got wind. Those of you who don't shoot, bullets are affected by wind. On Okinawa, I was on the range we had three flags at that point to tell us which way the wind was blowing. The first one right in front of us was blowing this way. The one at the 300-yard line was blowing this way. The one at the target was blowing this way. We had two different wind sources going through there, because you're on an island in the middle of the Pacific. So you had to adjust your weapon to hit, to be able to go through that, because you go down there and the further away, the bullet's easier to steer away from it. So we had to figure all that out. But they have. That's the great thing. They figured it all out. If you have wind of this value, the bullet's going down the range at this speed, it's going to deflect this much. Move your sights over to this point. God wants us to know that we're not alone. But we have to trust Him. Yeah, I know what food's going up. I know what fuel is going up. I know that rent is the highest it's ever been in this country. I saw an apartment for rent here in Mount Gilead, two bedrooms. Two bedrooms, not even a big apartment. $800. Folks, that's actually more than my mortgage. I know what's happening. Well, it's just a vicious cycle. It's all that it is. Those of us who remember the 70s, I was a kid during the 70s, and so didn't have a comprehension, but I do remember no gas. I do remember, you know, back then gas was well over a dollar, and it had been, I know you're saying, well, that's younger, that's not a big deal. You do need to understand, it was like 35 cents before that. So when it goes to $1.76 or whatever it hit, it's a big deal. Because even back then, $5 an hour you could live off of. I remember my dad telling me what his pay was when he started out as a lineman. In 68 or 69, don't quote me on the year, was $3 an hour. To tell you what he did, you know the towers that cross down here at Delaware? There's one set of those he built. That's what my dad did. So understand that when he started, he was building them in West Virginia. They're already in the nosebleed section. And then they're up there on top of them mountains, and they got to ride them buggies across. I ain't afraid of heights, but I'll walk, thank you very much. All right, next. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Next. I'm just going to keep rolling. Nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There's a part in there. He said, though 1,000 may fall by your left side, and 10,000 fall at your right hand. You need to understand something. In about all the militaries, I can speak for the U.S. military, everything is taught from a right-handed perspective, because that's the dominant. Even guys who come in, they were left-handed, they'd ask me, how many of you left-handed? Well, we had like five. Five out of 80 guys raised their hand. All right, here's the deal. You can shoot left-handed if you want, but this weapon is designed for right-handed shooters, meaning the ejection port's on the right. It kicks the shells out that way. So if you're holding a weapon like this, guess who's eating the shells? And I've heard they typically go still miss them, but a couple guys I saw doing the dance of happy, happy, joy, joy, trying to get their clothes off and get that hot round out of their drawers. When it says at your right hand, those that fall to the left are the enemy that are falling in battle. But the right hand, first off, in the Bible, anytime it says right, it's the authority. The right hand, they'd always bless. They'd lay the right hand on to anoint kings, to anoint priests. Whoever, they used the right hand because it represented authority. Doesn't mean there's any more authority than this hand. It was a representation, okay? But it also meant you were in battle. That you saw 10,000. Even though 1,000 may have fallen over here, you took down 10,000. One can put 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. If you're in battle and God is on your side, 10,000. He's going to protect you. He's going to oversee, but you have got to trust Him. Not just trusting in your ability to do His word, to do what you know how to. There's nothing wrong with confidence. Absolutely nothing. You know, Brooke's a nurse. I appreciate confidence in nurses. I really do. Especially when they're sticking me with a needle. You do know what you're doing, right? Oh, well, yeah, I don't know. That's something you don't want to tell somebody right then. I know what I'm doing. You may not know what you're doing, but you don't tell your patient that, do you? No, I know what I'm doing. That's what we were told. Don't tell them you don't know what you're doing. If you can't dazzle them with your brilliance, baffle them with something else. Now, I appreciate people that know what they're doing. An electrician. It's good they know what they're doing, isn't it? You may know a little bit, but what you don't know could get you killed. I had to ask John a question. John was a high voltage electrician as well. I'm not a high voltage, I just do it, okay? I don't. But I was working on a panel the other day that was supposed to be single phase. And I said, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, there was no reason to run a third line. He's like, no, there shouldn't have been. Well, I had the thing off, I checked it, and it was live. A single phase panel had been wired up three phase. Which what that means is somebody could get killed. So the other day I had to eliminate that third line. Yeah, I did what I knew to do. I was confident in. And there's this little thing that I have confidence in as well. It's called a voltage meter. That one's dead. That one's dead. That one's dead. Took the screw loose, pulled the wire, pulled that one, took that one loose, pulled it right out, turned it back on. 5 minutes. But I can tell you this. First off, if I hadn't already done it once, because I did the one here in the church, but I had somebody who was a high voltage electrical engineer, and he had did the work. He took me step by step. God doesn't send you someplace without taking you with somebody who can teach you. He sent Jesus to teach the disciples. They knew how to fish. They knew how to take taxes. What they didn't know was how to handle people, how to speak confidently to people, how to know the God that was going to deliver them. So you had to have somebody show them. So all you young guys that are still out there, young ladies, you're working to look, find something. And even if you're older, if somebody else knows it, watch and learn. Now see, and here's the thing, because in my mind, I knew what to do. But I wanted to go to somebody who had more experience. And so he said, yep, you're absolutely right. That's wrong. So I fixed it. I've done it here. But I just wanted to make sure. There's no problem with calling somebody else. Say, hey, brother, correct me if I'm wrong. But I need help in this. Am I about to do something I shouldn't do? Absolutely. No, you're right on the money. Just depends on the situation. Because, see, the 1,000 you're seeing that are falling to your left are your comrades who are taking down the enemy. You're on your knees. All right. It's a fighting position. I'm on my back. It's a fighting position. Everything's a fighting position. Quit looking at it as a sign of weakness. Quit listening to people that say, oh, you got to get up and stand like Superman. Superman's a myth. Keep that in mind. Superman thinks he's God. The difference in us and Superman is we actually have confidence in the power. And we just have to stand and rely on him. But knowing that we can do it. God has equipped us to do it. So don't think when you're looking at what's happening in Ukraine, oh, and all the blubberings of Vladimir Putin. What's he going to do to us? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Well, listen. You need to understand, everything Vladimir knows, we know. And I think this might have just been a practice run. He's just seeing. However, I don't care what the mouthpiece of the United States looks like or acts like right now. The people of God are still here. And I happen to know God can redirect things. He can do things. I've told you, Israel, time and time and time again, Hamas would launch an attack. They aren't that big of idiots. You know, if I'm gonna teach my sons how to shoot, first thing I'm gonna do is how to teach them how to do it right. And if they'll listen to me, they'll be okay. So Hamas is not going to teach their sons to fire missiles that don't hit anything. But yet, it seemed like Hamas, every time they'd fire a missile across the border into Israel, the missile decided to go out in the middle of the desert and explode where nobody got hurt. But yet Israel was able to pinpoint right where they wanted their missiles, and they went right in and did what they were supposed to do. And then Israel becomes the bad guy. You do know God was just kind of... I told you guys to knock it off. I told your father that his hand would be against every man, and every man would be against his if he didn't watch it. It's Ishmael. They're given a chance. I do not wish people dead. I wish people to find Jesus Christ. So remember that. All right, let's stand. And again, if you would like a name specifically to pray for, Luda and Irina. I don't remember her husband's name, but Luda and Irina. That'll give you two people that you can pray for, because they represent churches that are over there right now that are dealing with this. And I know Luda has been to many, many churches in Ukraine, maybe even into Russia. But she was a good woman. And, you know, she's a single woman. She was due to get married, and her husband, her fiancé was killed weeks before the wedding in a car crash. And so she's just never gone back out looking for a new husband, and she's been helping preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, you could say she is preaching the gospel, because everything the man of God says, she has to repeat it. So... but those are two names that, if you'd like to be praying for names, those are two people that I personally know who would appreciate your prayers. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful to be a part of your body. Now, Father, Lord, we do. As a body, as a representation of you in this country, we lift up our brothers and sisters and the innocents that are in Ukraine. Father, we pray for strength for her leaders. Wisdom, Father. Father, we pray for strength for the troops that are outnumbered, maybe even outgunned. But Father, we know you took the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots. Lord, I thank you for tanks running out of fuel. I thank you, whether the ghost of Kiev is real or not, more of these MiGs that are coming to rain down hellfire on innocent people will fall from the sky. Father, I thank you that our country, Lord, we pray your will in this thing. Father, that's all we can pray. We pray that you keep your hands upon our president and our leaders in this country. Father, that you keep them from doing anything stupid. Father, but that they do what you want them to do. We pray, Lord, that their heart is in your hand and you turn it the way you need it. So, Father, we pray for protection for all these believers. Lord, we join our prayers with them right now. We pray confusion amongst the Russian troops in Belarus. Lord, anybody that has helped them to invade, Lord, confusion. Lord, I thank you that these people are willing to stand and fight for their freedom. That they now know that unless Russia stops the war, The war will not stop. But if they stop, Lord, there will not be a Ukraine. So, Lord, I pray for strength. I pray for miraculous deliverance. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you. Right now, you're moving in that country. Father, things that Putin has even spouted out, and everybody in the world knows who he was talking to. Lord, I pray those things come right back upon him. Everything he's thought of for this country for evil, Lord, it goes back. And it's a tenfold effect in his country, Lord. Father, that his arrogance and his pride, that his people will say, enough is enough. Lord, I thank you that in all these things, Lord, we will still continue to hold and fast to you, that no matter what comes our way, no matter what trap the enemy has set for us, Lord, we will be able to withstand. We will be camouflaged. We will be protected by your armor, Lord God, and our weapons, they will not fail. They will remain sharp. Our shield will work. It will deflect the work of the enemy. Hallelujah. And now, Father, I pray for all these people in here today. Lord, I do thank you for them. Lord, I pray peace right now upon the people here, the people watching at home. Lord, that they remember that you are the King of Kings. You are the Prince of Peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Lord, I thank you right now you're beginning to move in their lives. Father, their trust is in you. Lord, move with them this week. Father, those that are seeking you, may they find you. In Jesus' name, amen.